Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And Roman Reigns' best friend, it's me!
I'm Roman Reigns' best friend, Steve's, and everybody knows
Steve
this.
Steve is Roman Reigns' best friend.
I claim that.
They took a picture
title.
Together.
Yep.
Oh, wait, there we go. There's my scrub belt. Hold on, next contender is me. being Roman Reigns' best friend. We'll get to that later, but first, we're going to talk a lot about Fast Lame today. I know a lot of you on the internet are up in arms. I see hashtags for cancel WWE Network. I see a hashtag now trending for something like we want Dean Ambrose as champion or some shit like that.
That's a long hashtag.
Really long hashtag. It's probably not going to work. I don't know. Okay, I've got a lot to say. I got a lot to get off my chest today.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Steve's going to be Frank Costanza this episode.
Here's the thing. Just in general, my general thesis is, what was everybody expecting? That's where we're going to go today.
I know.
That's what we're going to go with today. So let's start with the let's actually start oddly with the kickoff show, which apparently was a prerequisite this time because the United States Championship was defended on the let's not put R-Truth and the Gold Dust situation on the kickoff show. No, God no. We'll put that on the main card.
Let's not put the Wyatt's family against the three guys no one cares about on the kickoff show.
I said yesterday I'm on a 6-month moratorium for talking shit about the Big Show because of his Stone Cold podcast. It was fantastic, but okay. I could talk shit about everything else.
Okay,
Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio, kind of a decent match. It was for a kickoff show, anyways.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was a fun match. My thing is, okay, at first when I saw it was coming, I was like, wait a second, that's weird. Why is it starting now? It's a pre-show. And then I was like, you know what? Hey, I'll try to be positive for once in my life. I'm going to be positive today.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say, you know what? Good for them. Good business move putting on a match. Because instead, what are we going to get? Instead, what do we – like, they could have done this. They could put, like, maybe start doing, like, an NXT match or something. Or like, some, like, you know, up-and-coming guys match on the pre-show. But instead, hey, you know what? They want to draw eyes to the pre-show. That's fine.
If that's what they want to do, just make the pay-per-view a half hour longer, which I guess it already is. You know, it's like if you're going to want to draw eyes to the pre-show, I guess that's to get more eyes on the show itself.
I have no idea. I think they probably just want more eyes on the pre-show. Maybe that's like a block of time programming, whatever, that they can then point out to whoever they're pointing out to. I have no idea.
They broadcast it onto YouTube, don't they, the pre-show?
Do they still do that?
Okay, yeah, that makes a certain amount of sense. Okay.
Then there you go.
That makes some sense.
Yeah, you're trying to get people over. I mean, I think they did this, they had Sasha Banks. They had like a really good pre-show match too.
It was Sasha and Becky Lynch once, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is something that I actually want to see. So I thought it was kind of weird, but, you know, because you sort of went from John Cena, like basically kind of being a co-main event, which he kind of is no matter what because he's Cena. I know we all don't think of him that way, but he kind of made the belt
like a co-made event
and
belt.
Exactly, by the open challenge, and it's sort of fallen down to the pre-show. That's one, and I think very legitimate way of thinking about it, but it was kind of a cool match. 2 out of 3 falls match. I don't know, I thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yep. I'm eating a biscuit.
Moving on.
I'd like to point out real biscuit, not American biscuit. I'm not eating scone or whatever the fuck you feel. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you people?
Oh, no.
Why do you defile the sanctity of the biscuit?
I don't know. Our biscuits are pretty good.
Dan, what, your biscuit is a cookie, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Your biscuit is a scone.
Our biscuits are
luscious buttermilk and butter-flavored fluffy dough.
Scones are close, but they are no biscuits. Scone is a scone.
Give the scone
a proper respect.
I lived
in your country, Dan. I know what a scone is.
Get a biscuit cut in half, put some sausage, some gravy on it.
I know about your McVitie's digestives, Dan.
Delicious.
Don't try to keep that secret from us. I love those things. Anyways, moving on. Let's see here. Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. This is a good way to open the show.
Yeah.
I was totally fine with this. Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, because they can do no wrong in my eye.
Yep.
Becky Lynch looks like, you know, it's funny because lost in the shuffle of like, Charlotte is amazing. I love her. Sasha Banks is fantastic. I love her. Paige, I want to marry her, like, on top of the wife I already have, who's perfectly fine. Becky Lynch looks like a fucking $1 million, and she should be a goddamn champion sooner than later. That's my take on Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
She looks like the sort of character that I would design in, like, Saints Row.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That is why she's so right. She's so well designed. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's like such a huge thing in wrestling, because they should kind of look like video game characters or comic book characters. Mm. And she's a really, really well packaged, and she's a great, and she's a really, really good wrestler.
So. Yeah, and she's actually, in NXT, I didn't really see much of her interview skills, but she's actually done really well for herself in terms of the backstage talking aspect.
She has her voice. She has her character. Yeah. She knows exactly what to do. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And to see like where she came from in terms of being... You know, like, whenever NXT needs somebody to lose to Nia Jax, they roll out one of these generic-looking, you know, NXT ladies who are just, like, on a day contract or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was that.
Yeah.
But then she, like, really, especially when she hopped up to Maine, like, she sort of stepped it up a bit, and she's got that weird steampunk kind of thing going. It works perfect for her.
It does.
I like the finish of this match, too, with sort of the double, like, it was a very strong finish for Sasha and Becky.
Yeah.
Made a very good case for hopefully both them going to Mania against in a triple threat against Charlotte.
Yep. That's all I have to say.
Dan's just waiting.
I know. He's just waiting to unleash his
he next. Has to say something about this next one, though. Kevin Owens beat Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a very good match.
Yeah, it was good.
That was enjoyable.
I'm not sure... It was any different than what we saw at Raw or Raw or
they did
Raw
that,
or
that spot
Raw?
Outside on
this the, wasn't a Raw. The Hang on, steps. wait! I thought this was a Raw.
Didn't we agree last year that Fastlane was basically just
you know? My wife said Raw. Last night when she was watching it with me, she said, "How is this any different than what's normally on?"
It didn't open with 20 minutes of the Authority.
That's exactly what I said. I said it's like I said it's like a Rob, just with less talking.
Yeah, just less talking, exactly.
If Lesnar's destroying stuff after a bell rings, then it's a pay per view. Yeah. That's the rule.
Exactly. Let's see here. Even that match, I didn't have a lot of problems with. We'll get to that in a second.
Everything except until leading up to this Wyatt match was just. Good to fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It was totally like Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler. It was fine.
Yeah.
Like he kept the belt. We knew that was going to happen. He tweeted afterwards, AJ Styles better keep his hands away from my belt, otherwise we're going to have problems or something like that.
Yeah.
And so that's great. That's exciting. WrestleMania. AJ versus KO, assuming he's not just going a half cock, like hoping to make something of himself. I don't know. But I hope that happens. I want to see AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope that was a tease. Oh, by the way, was it the kickoff? AJ Styles had an interview with somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the social media lounge thing.
The social media lounge, yeah. AJ, he talks pretty good.
Yeah,
I
thought he did great.
He talked good.
I have no recollection of that. Did that happen?
Yeah, I think it was after the match, but before the show started.
I think it was during the time when I was like, oh shit, I haven't made my nachos yet. Okay, good. It was that time.
I hope you say that out loud when it happens.
I genuinely do.
That level of panic enters.
It is that level of panic. I mean, you gotta have tasty, tasty food while watching sweaty men wrestle.
Let's see here. Okay, so...
This is the first problem of the night, yeah.
I tweeted this out, and I don't think I even went back, because I went back and kind of watched a pay-per-view while I was doing some editing, and I didn't even watch this. But I tweeted out, I was like, hey, I'm going to go walk the dog, keep me appraised of what happens, because this was the lock match. Okay, this is the lock.
Yeah,
If we knew one thing on this pay-per-view, it was going to be that the Wyatt family was going to beat Big Show Kane.
And I thought we said on last week's show that it was like going to be almost a squash. Or at least it should have been like a squash match, essentially.
Right. Instead, that didn't happen.
No.
What was the finish of this match?
Because Ryback doing a shell shock.
What was the audience's reaction to it? Because it was kind of a markish audience.
Personally, I fell asleep. That was my reaction to it. This was the last thing. That match was when I started to drift off. Like, I remember little few bits of it, and then it ended, and I was like, I'm going to tweet anger, and then my rage couldn't keep me awake, so I fell asleep.
Kind of like that story reminds me of 9/11 for me, because I fell asleep after the first building got hit, and I was like, man, okay, that's like a tragedy, like that's an accident, that's messed up. And then I wake up, and the second one's like about to come down. And I was like,
"Are you
comparing
Roman Reigns beating Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar to 9/11?"
Continue. Yeah,
Okay.
Absolutely. No, of course not. This was much worse.
Oh my God.
So, okay. So Ryback. Ryback won this thing? Yeah, that works
out. It was, this whole match was like a show off of Ryback's skills,
which he has a few.
It's like a plane crashed into our pay per view.
That's like the nicest thing I could say about Ryback in this match. He looked like he was having fun.
That's true.
Good for he. Like when he went for the knees good. And then he fell over the ropes, what? It looked like he was laughing and having a good
What a positive way of thinking of this. I like that positive thinking. I like that positive thinking because I like that these guys have fun. Because, yeah, you know what? Big Show, he had a great, great podcast with Stone Cold. It was one of those. You know what? This is all I want to hear about. I want to hear about locker room climate back in the 90s and aughts. I want to hear road stories. And Big Show gave plenty of both of those.
Yeah.
Because he was like at the top of both companies' games, he was there. And so it was interesting to hear his take on things. So anyways, yeah, this was weird, but here's the thing. And it's completely stupid. It's completely stupid. But the Wyatt, it doesn't matter. The Wyatt family can keep on losing, and I'm still not sure it's ever gonna matter. It's like Donald Trump. Like he can keep he can say whatever he wants, some idiot thing, he's gonna keep on winning.
But only for now.
I don't know. I don't know if...
No, for me, when the Wyatt family come out and they're like, we're going to threaten you, and someone goes, oh no, it just has no water. That holds no water anymore.
Yeah. It does matter. No one takes them seriously.
The Wyatt family should, if they want to keep losing because whatever Bray Wyatt, he must have touched Vince McMahon at some point, and then this is all the punishment for it. But if they just should set the Wyatt family up of they're just going to hurt you. They don't give a crap if they win or lose. They're just there to hurt you. So if the Wyatt family are coming for you, you know you're in for a really painful time. And if he loses, like, I don't care. I wrecked your shit up. And that's what they should
think. But here's the thing. When you say it doesn't matter and only takes them seriously, that's fine. But the bottom line is they're still going to be one of the featured performers in the WWE. They're not going to be on Superstars anytime soon. They can keep losing and they can still at any moment hop into the main event scene. And be considered legitimate threats.
I don't really consider them a threat to anything anymore. I mean, if there's like a butterfly loose in the ring, maybe together they'll be able to take it down, but I'm not entirely sure right now. Like, I can imagine it lands on like Strowman's face and he punches himself in the face and he's out because it's flown away, and then, hilarity and chaos ensues.
Look, I'll admit that would be much more interesting than how they're being handled right now.
Yes.
I'm just saying from a creative standpoint in the WWE, they're still, for whatever reason, like they can lose. They can lose to these lumps, to these freaking should-be jobbers, and still come out okay. Still, they think that they're still strong.
Anyone needs a win, it's the Wyatt family.
Yes.
Bray. What has he won ever?
The only feud I can think of that he's won the last year-ish is the one with Ambrose. That might have been longer than a year ago. Back when he put him in the ambulance on Raw. That's the last time I could think of that the Wyatts won a feud.
That was a good feud that really didn't have much stake to it.
Yeah.
That was like the last time he had a really good feud.
Yeah. Everything else since then, I feel like they've jobbed him out.
Yeah, I know, but still. I mean, look at where he's at still, though. Like, we're still talking about him versus Lesnar.
No, that's not happening.
Did you get that confirmed?
On the dirt sheets, they're saying it's going to be Lesnar and Ambrose at WrestleMania now.
Oh, well, that kind of makes more sense anyways. I like the way they've been
doing this. Well, yeah, since Royal Rumble. I mean, they had all these great storylines. Seemed like they're developing at Royal Rumble, and now none of them are
But
happening.
The Wyatts are still going to have a marquee spot. They're going to have a marquee match at WrestleMania.
Against two.
I don't know. Probably lose, too. But they're still going to have a marquee match.
They'll have a marquee match.
None of those guys are going to be worried about losing their jobs anytime soon.
Well, no, that's not an issue. But, I mean, for the audience to view them as a credible threat, they need to start winning something.
They're perfectly set up right now to fight the New Day. That's their thing. Because the New Day won't take them seriously. I don't take them seriously. And if they absolutely rip the New Day apart, then they can start being taken seriously. Someone needs to hang Matt Lanzon and go...
See, that's the thing. That's my point exactly, though. They can lose right now. They can lose all they want. But all it takes is for one time for them to rip somebody apart, and then they're serious again. They just have to be booked right.
Well,
once.
It has to be someone of consequence. I mean, you can't put them against the social outcast and rip them apart and expect people to give a shit.
They just lost to Big Show, Kane, and Ryback. The barrel has been scraped. There's nothing lower. They're just there.
Oh, they could lose to the Ascension. That'd be worse.
Oh, my God. They could lose to just R-Truth versus just the Wyatts.
Goldust, while Goldust circles the ring.
What we need, if you want to do the Wyatts versus Lesnar, you need an Elimination Chamber match where in each one of the pods is a member of the Wyatt family, and in the center is Lesnar. And you do it as an elimination sort of tag style.
That's a great idea.
That would really be really... And then like
in my head, for some reason, Lesnar's naked. Is that
yes.
Is that weird for me?
That's weird.
A little weird, right?
That's a little bit.
Maybe he's just wearing the jock strap and like you can see his butt cheeks and that's it.
Does that make Lesnar less scary or more scary?
Oh, more. Are you kidding me? More scary. Far scarier. Adds a sexual element to Lesnar.
Yeah, but it's also... It's like
he looks like a raging hard-on.
It's like when you're battling a boss and you like hit them a few times and then you expose their glowing weak point, because that's clearly Lesnar's glowing weak point right
that's
now.
True. He gets to take the shot in the balls, he's done for.
Seriously, Lesnar just starts me wearing a cup and he will be immortal again. It's like, that is his weakness right now.
Let's see here. Then we had Charlotte beat Brie Bella. Okay. This is
I agree completely.
Dan, you and I know John and I know everybody just completely trashes correctly, right? The announcing, right? Michael Cole and all them.
Yes.
And it's funny because in this we got a juxtaposition because we had Morello, whatever his name is, Sauro Morello, call the kickoff match.
Oh, he was great,
and it was fantastic. And every time you watch SmackDown, he's fantastic. And then you get Michael Cole and JBL and Byron Saxon, and they're terrible. Now, I've basically been able to just... Because when I watch live on Monday nights, I kind of like have it down low anyways. Mm-hmm. But I just sort of... I've been around long enough. I just sort of tune it out. Like, I just don't care anymore. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I know they're terrible. But this is the end of this match illustrated to me perfectly... why there definitely needs a change to happen. Because at a certain point, you can't tune it out anymore. I don't know exactly how they work the announce booth in terms of what they know, how it's going to go down, et cetera, et cetera. But when you have a sequence that went down at the end, it's a very quick one, at the end of the Brie-Charlotte match, where Brie has Charlotte in a
single-leg crab.
In a single-leg crab, thanks.
Yeah.
And... she lets up for a bit, allows Charlotte to sort of kick her off, and then Charlotte turns around, gets the upper hand, and gets the win. That's something that needs to be called to perfection on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
They were rambling during that entire sequence, and then after the win, Cole says something like, okay, so I think what happened there was Brie let up for a moment, and it's like, why didn't you just go nut batshit crazy when Charlotte reversed that and then put her over? Like, you just killed the entire finish of the match, you fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have to say about the announcing. I understand it's awful. It just takes something like this for me to actually give a shit, because this actually matters, you know? Like, that's the entire match was just fucking ruined because of those fucking idiots at the announce table.
There is an upside to them not getting really excited at the end of the match, and that was that they may have woken me up if they had, so... kind of pleased they didn't. Always the bright side. I'm always looking for the bright side. More positive That's attitude. True. That's what I'm bringing to this now.
Positive attitude.
Yeah.
Dan, you get points for that. You get points for that. Larson, you're still negative. I don't like that.
What? My attitude?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I'll work on that.
No points for you. That's positive, saying you're going to work on it. Dan, at what point did you wake up? I hope it was during the next match, because it was okay.
I woke up at like 10 a.m., so I slept for 8 hours straight. I missed everything from that point onward.
Let's see here.
It's hard to stay up until fucking 4 or 6 in the morning, or whatever the hell it is. It's long. So like, do a day, and then it's like, now you have to stay up and watch half-assed wrestling. I'm like, oh man, really? I'm prepare for this. Seriously, to watch like the pay-per-view, I've got to like prepare shit. Like, I have to get up like later in the day, on the day that it's on, so I have more chance of being awake. And everything has to shift over slightly. I put effort into this shit, damn it. And sometimes I just go fuck it and fall asleep, but you know, it's fine.
We just get to schlep it at 5 p.m. Oh, wrestling.
Perfect time for us to make nachos, because it's dinner time, actually.
It's exactly dinner time.
Yeah, it's nothing like you sit down, it's 1 a.m., and you put a plate of nachos in front of yourself, and you're like, oh, fuck. That is
a recipe to fall asleep.
I love nachos at 1 o'clock in the morning, but health-wise, it's really not good for you. Let's see here. AJ Styles and Chris Jericho had their rubber match. It was funny. I inadvertently tweeted the end of this because I tweeted out a poll and I said, "What's gonna win? What's gonna beat Jericho today? A Styles clash, a calf crusher, or the calf
clash?"
Or the calf clash. Turns out it was the calf clash because he did both those moves. And it's funny, they're really trying to write the Styles clash out as like an actual finisher, even though it is literally paralyzed scores of men through the years.
Two.
That's not a positive attitude, Larson.
Well, it is. It is for the scores of guys that weren't paralyzed.
There you go. You get points now. Way to turn that on me. Let's see here. Yeah, I don't know. It was a cool match. It just, I actually kind of liked it. I'll be honest with you. Jericho's funny, though. Like, whenever he needs motivation that's relatively safe, it never really comes off as, like, legit. Like, he always gets very specific with it. If he wants to create a legacy, he has to beat me here. Like, I get where he's coming from. He's just sort of Jericho's just sort of cheesy whenever he tries to get serious. And mm-hmm. I remember and I love comedic Jericho, and that's what I want to see. I know this didn't warrant comedic Jericho, but I like comedic Jericho. That's what I want to see. But this is a decent match.
Yeah, it was good. It was fine.
I was dreaming about butterflies.
Is that literally what you dreamt about? That would be stunning.
No, that would be strange. Because then I would be thinking about the Divas title belt. That's where it would have come from. I lied. I did wake up a little bit because I heard Edge's music. And I was like, hey, it's Edge! And then I was asleep again. So
I was actually relatively entertained until of course, the League of Nations came out. Because I was really, really excited. I was really hoping that that the New Day would basically come out and say, we've gone through everybody. There's nobody else for us to go through. And then Enzo and Cass's music would have fit.
That'd be
great. Perfect. However, that didn't happen, so what are you
gonna do? I like the phrase relatively entertained. Are you not relatively entertained?
Yeah, maybe,
I don't know.
Well, then the whole segment got really confusing once the League of Nations came out because they were like siding with Edge and Christian at first, and then they weren't.
It was weird. Yeah, one of our people on Twitter said something like, that was a really awkward and weird face turn. Face turn for the New Day. Maybe that's what it was? I don't know.
Is that why Big E tweeted, Sheamus ruins everything? Just his most accurate tweet ever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because he does. He's terrible. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I was actually really entertained by Edge. I thought Edge and Christian had some funny shit to say. And I thought the New Day were pretty funny. And then, League of Nations sort of ruined it everything. I mean, that's just what they've been doing.
That's kind of what they do. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I do like when Alberto Del Rio calls people mosquitoes in Spanish. That always makes me laugh.
Who's in the League of Nations? I missed this bit. Who's still in the damn thing?
Because Alberto? Same as usual. Alberto, Sheamus, Rusev, and King
and
Barrett
until the summer. Yeah,
until the summertime when he's leaving.
Aww.
Stu Bennett in a town near you, Dan.
Ooh.
Yeah. let's see here. That was actually fun. Something. Did anybody watch? As a side note, does anybody watch the Edge and Christian show?
No, I missed it.
No,
It's the kind of thing where, you know how sometimes there's like a really good comedy show that like the pilot is sort of still it just finds its legs.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell there's enough there. This was that. It had there was a lot, like in a half hour, they packed in a lot and it was like, okay, this could be funny. There was a couple of bits where I kind of genuinely laughed. But I hope they do a bunch of those because I think they've got something good going there. Anyways, let's see here. And then the main event, Curtis Axel defeated.
Yeah, I thought you were going to skip something.
R-Truth in a singles match in which Goldust kind of hovered. I mean, are they going to resolve this R-Truth-Goldust thing before WrestleMania?
Are we talking about Raw again? Or are we still on the pay-per-view? I'm very confused.
Raw? This is Superstars, man. This isn't Raw. This is Superstars. Main event.
This is a house show now. This is all we're at. This is the level we're at now.
This is it's a house show, exactly. I mean, did anybody want to say anything about this? I don't.
That sounds like the sort of match that should have been held in, like, a mall.
I mean, to its credit, it was only 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah, it was short at least.
It's the day of positives from Fastlane.
That's something.
That's what we're referring to. Say it was short. At least one of the wrestlers was enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna call it fast lane. I'm gonna call it best lane.
Whoa!
Made myself laugh with that one. Let's see here. Curtis Axel, yeah, defeated R-Truth. I'll be completely honest. Some of my favorite segments have been R-Truth Goldust over the past couple
weeks.
Yeah,
they've been really good.
I was fine with it. I don't really care. I love when Goldust was like the waiter and he did the jism joke. That was funny.
It was funny. It was like an attitude era joke.
It was totally an attitude era joke. And Goldust makes me laugh. Like he did back in the day when him and Booker T were doing the exact same thing. I don't know.
And Bo Dallas is funny.
Bo Dallas is always great. I love him. It's funny because I really think he could be huge with like a massive character change, but he makes me laugh so hard as Bo Dallas. Like when he did the Bo Rida thing, I don't know.
Anytime he does the Bo train, it's funny.
So anyways. Now we should talk about our main event.
Let's know.
Okay.
Let's just skip it.
Okay, here's the thing. We all knew that Roman Reigns was going to win this thing.
No, we didn't. Some of us still have faith. It's still not real to me, damn it.
How long have you been watching now? You can't claim to have any faith in the WWE.
This is so poorly written at this point that I honestly believe wrestling isn't fake. I believe wrestling isn't scripted and they're actually having a go at each other and Roman Reigns is just winning because that's the only excuse for the sort of stuff that's been happening as of late.
It is bizarre because we've been on the weekly show, we've been sort of going back and forth about, well, okay, hold on a sec. They're really building up Dean Ambrose.
And they're really pushing Roman to the
background. And Roman has just been a spectator the entire time. And maybe he was just saving all his energy for this. Maybe that's how they can. It's like, look.
Well, I'm sure they were just making it seem like that Dean had a chance. I think that's why he probably dropped the IC belt.
Yeah, I don't know that they are thinking that deep into it.
No, probably not.
I mean, I don't know. I just. I mean, it's
that sums my, up my problem.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing. I'm not even really upset that Roman Reigns won. Like that doesn't even bug me. It's the fact that it was done in such a lazy manner.
Yeah.
And honestly, half that match, I was fucked. 80% of that match, I was totally into. Like,
yeah, it was fun.
Brock was earning his pay.
Oh yeah.
Like if you're gonna do it, that's how you do it. Like you put Brock through two tables, and then you cover him in debris, and then you go at it. It's just. The fact that, like, in the end, it was just sort of Roman Reigns won. Okay, there you go. There was no, like... There was no
drama to it.
Yeah, there was no drama to it. There was no tension. There was no build-up. And that's, like, the worst sin you can commit, because if you don't get the drama going, then why are we fucking watching?
Yeah.
Like, you can have an outcome that, you know, nobody's going to agree with. Like, okay, perfect example. When Roman Reigns beat Sheamus and then beat the crap out of Triple H, I don't know when it was, 4 months ago. Like, that was just normal. You know, Roman Reigns won, he lost, beat the crap out of Triple H, and then won the next night on Raw. Like, that was a sequence that really is no different than what we're seeing here.
Yeah.
It's just, it's being book crappy, and the match was, like, the end was crappy, and that makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So, that's my take on things. Everybody's talking about cancel subscription. Look, Roman Reigns has been destined to win this thing for fucking ever now. And you never know. Look, the same thing happened last year at the Rumble. He was booed out of the building at the Rumble. And then he went on to WrestleMania. And what happened? We had like one of the biggest markout moments of the year when Seth Rollins came in. We have no idea what's going to happen at Mania. It still could be a lot of fun and it still could be a really good match. And maybe they'll throw a swerve. I doubt it.
Yeah.
But... That's you never problem. Know.
This time it's like, because if it happens again, that's just Roman's thing. He's like, oh, you're going to push the top? And he's just sort of the guy who's there for the whoever actually is going to win. But nobody has the money in the bank this time, so no one's going to cash in. This match is going to happen.
Yeah, I know. And we're probably going to get Ambrose versus Lesnar Mania. I'm just saying that, you know, you suffer through the crap because it makes the good stuff all the better. That's my positivity on this year's edition of Best Lane.
My gosh.
I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do? It was a crap ending. But it's funny because people are like, well, this is the worst pay-per-view ever. No, it wasn't. There was a couple of decent matches on it. Like, you know, I was even giving thought to the whole, like, Kevin Dunn is the devil, like, thing. And I was watching last night. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I can do without, like, maybe they go heavy on the zoom-ins on the action. But at the same time, like, when I watched Smoky Mountain Wrestling from 1996, or from 1986, rather, like, you know, it's just a camera there, and that's all they do. You know, it's like, I kind of would rather prefer what we have. Yeah, they could dial it down a bit to see some more action. But nobody's perfect. There's a lot of live TV going on. It's a hard job. Stay positive.
Yes, stay positive. That's
I hate Roman Reigns. God, I hate Roman Reigns. Sorry, my positivity's worn off now. That was it.
I know. And you know what? The thing that really sucks, too, is that, like, at the end of the match when Triple H is circling him, why didn't he just beat his ass there? Why didn't Roman Reigns just spear the crap? Like, if this was Stone Cold, he'd have stunned the crap out of him 16 times for trying to circle him like a pit bull. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Spear the crap out of him. Superman punch him. Hold the belt up high. Rub his face in the belt.
The little logo. Take your clothes off. That would appear if he was just pissing on him. That's the level that would happen. It's like, oh, Stone Cold starts pissing on someone throughout the logo.
Exactly. So, I mean, the whole thing, it sucks because it's like, you know, the worst was those, like, what, 3 years when we knew it was going to be Cena Rock, and we knew it a year before. Yeah. That was the worst. And so this is always the worst when we know what's, like, going to happen. But they've thrown us enough curveballs, maybe, you never know, something like
that. The undercard in WrestleMania will hopefully be good enough to
make it
interesting.
There will be plenty to love WrestleMania, and Triple H and Roman Reigns might put on a hell of a match, and Triple H is going to try his damnedest
to put Reigns over. Yeah.
To put Reigns over in a way that'll satisfy the crowd. So,
as long as they put him over by actually letting him sell some things, because that final sequence, this is the issue that I have with Cena, is they just, these Superman characters that don't sell things. Like, Reigns was in the Kimura lock, which broke Triple H's arm, which is an actual MMA move, which The Undertaker tapped out to at the last SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. Which is a vicious move. And he just picks him up, gets hit with the chair 3 times, and then is absolutely fine enough to spear someone and win.
You know what's funny about that, too, is that you can have that type of character and still pull it off. Like, take Kevin Owens, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets hit with all sorts of moves, and his one kind of thing is that if you give him a power move, he'll kick out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He'll sell the shit out of it, and he'll look... excuse me. He'll look like a wreck doing it, but he perseveres and he comes through. And because he's just a big, beefy, bad guy who can kick out of your power moves. With Roman Reigns, the point is he doesn't ever seem like he's on the verge of losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like he can get, and that's the same with, that's a knock on Cena. It's like he can get hit over and over again, and he never really seems like, I mean, Dolph is another good example of that when he's good.
Yeah.
Is he never really seems like he's losing. And so. It's just like, okay, dude, is this real or no? You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to present a product that makes it seem like... And another thing about Roman that really bugs me, I noticed this, like, clear as day yesterday, is... And this kind of goes to your point, Dan. He's just really bad at acting like he's in pain. Even when he tries to sell. Like, it was... Lesnar had him in some, I don't know, some submission. And Reigns... It was when Reigns... stood up with him. Maybe that was the arm.
That was the Kimura lock at the end. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I'm actually okay with it. But he didn't look like he was, like, he looked like he was acting like he was in pain. Like, when you're in pain, you don't brush your hair aside so you can see the ref.
Yeah.
You don't do that, you know. And he did that like 2 times, and I was like, that's horrible acting right there.
But then he goes further into it, because then he spears using the shoulder that was just in the Kimura lock. And then when he pins the guy, he pulls up his legs with the arm that was just in the Kimura lock.
Yeah.
And they go, no, everything, just pay attention. Yeah. Just pay attention to what the damage, you've just got to imagine the little health bars like in 2K16, just next to all your limbs. You go, oh, that's a red limb now, I shouldn't really do stuff with that, I should... actually put the thing and go, yeah, that's injured. It's like when Kevin Owens came back into the Royal Rumble and was injured, and he was limping in after his match. You're like, do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, Owens has got more than a dozen years experience. And that's been doing like 3-4 years.
That's it, too. I mean, that's what it is. Like, Owens has been doing this for literally 4 times in the amount of time that Roman Reigns has. Excuse me. And that's just experience. And that's the danger of putting somebody who's so fresh, you know, up to the main event level. It's just, you know, I don't care how good the guy looks. It's just not going to be, it's not going to feel legitimate, you know.
Goldberg.
Hey, Goldberg was hot. Goldberg was hot.
Never had to sell anything for anybody.
But oddly, it worked for Goldberg. Like, I loved Goldberg when he was coming. Well, I don't know. It was weird. Like, Jeff loved Goldberg a lot, but me and you were kind of lukewarm on him, weren't we?
Yeah, I never really was a fan of his.
But then we marked out whenever he, like, when he beat Hogan, we marked out hard for that.
Yeah, it was cool.
I did. Yeah, it was cool. Anyway, because it's always fun to see somebody no-sell Hogan.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. So, yeah, we're moving on to WrestleMania. Roman Reigns is going to take it. The Roman Empire will...
The Roman Empire, it's just him now because he's pissed off Ambrose. So the Roman Empire of one man.
We'll see how much Roman Reigns doesn't care tonight on Raw that he's going to WrestleMania the main.
Oh my god, I've just realized something amazing. Right, you know, last year Triple H came in as the Terminator.
Yeah.
Because it was like the summer movie. Well, what's the summer movie this year? Batman versus Superman, Triple H and Roman Reigns. I know what they should come out as. Roman Reigns could actually come out as Superman and Triple H could be Batman.
The only way that'll work is one of two ways. If he does the thing that little kids do when they're playing as their Superman, if he like puts his arms out in front of him and flies down the ring and runs and he does like ring. He swerves around, you know, like with a big smile on his face, or if they do some elaborate thing where they put him on wires and they like.
It's gonna be the first one because you can have like Triple H come in with his music and he's actually in the fucking Batmobile and the Batmobile goes to ring and he gets out and he's the fucking Dark Knight, but instead of like the Batman head is like a dark version of his skull crown and it's just fucking incredible. And then you just have Reigns runs in with his arms out in front of him
with a blanket for a cape.
Yeah,
and he's got one of
the...
he's got the pajamas on, like the single pajamas.
Yep.
The under... No, he's got underoos on.
No, he's got a onesie. Adult onesie.
Yeah.
He's
got boxer shorts with the Superman logo, like, pattern all over them.
That would be the most amazing thing.
That'd be great. It's funny. I was at Target the other day, and they had a Batman from the new movie, like a Batman talking mask thing, like the big helmet that Affleck wears.
Yeah.
And, like, I pressed it, and it's really loud. And it just gave away the fact that I was chilling out in the toy aisle. Because it was like, are you going to mess with Batman? I'm like, whoa, calm down there. Just walked away.
That might have
just
been the real Batman, actually.
I think it was actually Affleck's, one of the helmets that they used. Affleck's voice in it. It said, voice changer, activate. I'm like, oh, so he's not going to have that weird robot voice the entire time. Spoiler alert.
That's kind of a bummer.
Dude, YouTube fucking video on that one.
Oh, my God.
I was hanging out in the toy aisle the other day.
And a massive Batman versus Superman spoiler happened.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Let's see here. Oh, so anyways, WrestleMania. So that'll be fun.
Will it? Is that a guarantee? Oh, my writing. Yeah.
Positive.
I'm positive WrestleMania will happen.
Anyways,
we have a new segment today. Ooh. Unless, does anybody have any parting words for Fastlane?
No, that was enough.
All right. I'm positive that pay-per-view sucked. No, it was all right. It was half good, half bad. The ending was bunk. The end. We have a new segment today, courtesy of Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, do you want to explain this new segment of ours?
No, not really.
Okay, let's hop right into it.
So without any background,
thanks,
let's
Dan.
Just do it.
Actually, no, you can't explain it because I've lost my words.
Dan's Power Rankings.
That's not what it's called at all, but okay.
Powered
Dan Kings.
There you go.
That sounds like some sort of weird sex maneuver. I don't want to name it after that. Going in Raw, which is clearly not in any way strange.
I'm getting this secondhand info anyways, because Larson like mumbled what this is all about to me after hearing it from you apparently. And
yeah,
so
I woke up like one night and was like, oh, I'm gonna message Larson on Twitter DMs because I've got an idea for Going in Raw.
That happens to me when I'm on the toilet and I'm like, I gotta message Larson this. Look at what I just produced.
Yeah, like 12:30 in the morning.
Like, he needs to wake up and look at my bowel movement.
That's the bad idea regardless of the time of day.
So anyways, so this is a, is it, am I correct? This is a power ranking of some sort, but it's like an anti-power ranking?
Well, I like the idea, because there's power rankings and stuff, and they're all ranked in kayfabe, whatever, but I like the idea that we could build our own power rankings based on a random topic each month. Mm.
Sure.
And this one would be, who is the top five contestants, or the top five people who deserve to have the loser's belt? I like the idea of a loser's belt that you give to someone. Yeah. And this could be something that, if you're listening, Mr. McMahon, why? But actually, he sounds like the sort of person who would Google his own name and find things like this. Tag him. When you actually put this on YouTube, just hashtag Vince McMahon, and he'll actually find this and listen to this.
Hey, you know what? I'll say this. During the Edge and Christian show last night, he had a great line, and he delivered it so deadpan it was perfect. When Edge and Christian show up in his office, and he's like, he says, "Edge, good to see you. You're looking good these days." And then Christian just goes, gives a smile, waiting for his good response, and he says, "What are you looking at?" And Christian's like, "Mr. McMahon, you know, it's me, Christian. It's good to see you again, right? You know." And he's like, "No, I don't like you. Don't you read the internet?"
I know, that was good. That part I saw, that was good.
It was so deadpan. It was so perfect. Like, it was perfect. Anyways, yeah, loser's belt, the scrub belt. Yeah. And so in my eyes, a scrub belt was sort of like the lower main event. Like, this would be the TV title.
No, no, no. So this is...
Yeah, well, this is different.
You win if you lose. It's given to the loser. So you then have if you have a match with it, the loser will get it. It's the dunce hat.
This is not something people want.
No. Yes.
Because another caveat to this belt is if you hold it, right? This is your idea.
Yes.
You get credit for this. If you hold it for 90 days, you're future endeavored. You're fired.
Yeah, which gives it a nice... You can get a nice twist with it. You can
ask you this.
People drop considerably far with it. Yes.
At the 90-day mark, do you maybe have an option? Either you're fired or you have to join Mr. McMahon's Kiss My Ass Club.
Oh, you could have something like that, yes.
Yeah. So there you go. Like, either lose, like, completely chip away your dignity and, you know, kiss somebody's ass, or you're fired.
Yes. And then you could have things, you could easily, if you just give it a nice rule set, you could then tie it into storylines. You can have like a main eventer who drops into it quite quickly due to the matches he set up in that are unfair, and then they don't give him matches for like 90 days, where if he's slightly injured, you could run this quite nicely. And then you have the sort of, "I want a match to prove myself." He's like, "Well, 90 days, we're not giving you one," to like force
okay, but
to
let me ask you this. Would the main event for this belt then be like a dark match or like the curtain jerker? Because it is like the opposite of what everybody wants. So it'd be like the first, like, you couldn't main event this at like Superstars, even though that is kind of the scrub show. Like, wouldn't it be like the first match that goes on at Superstars?
I would think so.
Yeah, it would be. It's a good opener. It's a good pay-per-view opener. Who's the loser at the moment?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, who's the loser of them? Who's in danger of losing?
But imagine someone like Kevin Owens getting it because he gets cheated out of it and having to deal with it. Yeah. Like, just the sheer fun that he could have with it for a short while before he passes.
He'd be very torn because he wants belts. He wants achievements, but he's like, this is like the opposite. He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I like the idea of belts with rule sets, because we were talking about this before we started recording, but it's, I don't like having like, there's the main belt and then there's two belts that are identical to it, but just not as good. And then there's the belts with interesting rules, like the tag stuff, etc. But I would like it if like, so you've had belts that have these different rule sets and stuff tied around it. Which would make you
like
kind of go for different things,
Yeah.
Well, that's maybe that's sort of, maybe that can be like what the ultimate for each segment each month would be like, the belt for this particular power ranking is.
Ooh. Yeah.
With a new rule set. Because I know you like your rule sets.
I do like rule sets. I like setting rules. Rules control the fun.
You're going to make a great father one day, Dan.
I hope not.
I hope you're gonna.
I want my Lego town to remain unmolested. That's my general thing. That's life. I'll have to buy a lock for that room if kids don't. Oh, it'll be a nightmare. I'll have like a bucket filled with Lego, and I'll be like, "Have that bucket of shit, Lego. You can build something."
You're so much disdain for your children already. You ruined my life. You're fired. I'm going to put the loser belt on. All of a sudden, Dan has Mr. McMahon's voice.
Oh, he good. That would be amazing.
Dan, it's you have a wonderful little boy. You're fired. All right, let's get on with this. Power rankings
are
for
we gonna,
the loser belt.
Are we going to give our individual go-around?
I think it should be an argumentative, discussy sort of thing that we come to an agreement, I think is what makes it work best.
All right. Start number five then?
Yeah, I'll just start tossing things out here. Yes. Right now I've got number five, Dean Ambrose.
Ooh. Interesting.
Because if you think about like how over this guy is and where he really should be in any normal universe, but because we're still in the Vince McMahon verse, I think he's got the loser belt. I think he's a strong contestant. He's a number five contestant for the loser belt. That's my pick.
I have here Tyler Breeze because at least he'd have something to do.
Okay. That's true.
Tyler Breeze.
Dan, who do you got your number five
spot? I have a Mr. Bo Dallas.
Oh.
Because.
Oh, man. Bo Dallas. He's hilarious. He's great. He's hilarious.
Yeah, but I kind of just want to give him a belt that says he's a loser. Because I think he would actually be able to do something with it. I know
he could pull it off big time.
Taking Bo Dallas' character and saying, here's a thing that says that you're a loser, that you've failed, and he can't argue or fight it, would give his character enough momentum to actually kick him up a few notches.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he could absolutely run with that.
See, by that respect, I also like my pick because I think Dean Ambrose with a loser belt would be extra fun because he would be the kind of guy. He would, because he's a lunatic, that's what they say. He would, like, raise it up in the sky, and he would be all about it. He'd be like, yeah, this is for all the losers out there. And then he would win just to keep his job, and then he would job to that guy just to get the belt back.
Just trying to keep the belt.
Exactly.
That defeats my belt, god damn it.
I know. He's Dean Ambrose. He's a lunatic fringe, Dan.
He apparently transcends belts.
He transcends belts.
They always call him the lunatic fringe. What does he actually do that's even slightly lunatic-y?
See, that's kind of the problem with
him. He hangs around with Roman Reigns. That's the most lunatic thing that he does.
Well, that's like, pretty lunatic.
It would have been hilarious if he just like brought a machete to the triple threat. Yeah.
Well, he did say he replaced Michael Cole with a fish tank.
That's actually insane. I'd be totally down with that.
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of funny, though, if they really started stressing the lunatic aspect of things. Like, him and Reigns walk down to the ring, and then you look over, and, like, Ambrose has shit all over his hands.
Yeah, say they start throwing poop at people.
And it starts straining their relationship, because he's like, dude, what the fuck? And he's like, what, man, I'm a lunatic. He's like, I know, but you're just kind of crazy. You're the guy who, like, might start bar fights before. Now you're really, yeah, no, I'm a lunatic. I thought I told you this. Anyways.
All right, number five, who was it? We have to decide.
Oh, number five. I like
Bo Dallas.
Yeah, Bo Dallas is fine.
All right, Bo Dallas, number five.
I don't think the belt fits at all for Tyler Breeze, Larson. I apologize.
No, I was just trying to think of something for him.
He's too much of a winner.
Bray Wyatt just deserves it right now. Because if there's anyone who's guaranteed to lose.
Doesn't mean my number four would be the entire Wyatt family. It would be like they would like it was the rare occasion when you'd have two people that have to. I think God, who did this? This happened before. I know this happened before. You had two people. Wasn't there a situation where you had two people cohabiting a belt?
Maybe cohabiting the belt.
Like you mean holding it at the same time?
They
don't
hold
know.
It the same time. Man.
I don't know.
That's the
man.
Tag
that sounds
belt.
Like it's
that's
something.
The tag belt.
No. This is like with a single. Like I want to say Eddie Guerrero did this at one point. That sounds like an Eddie Guerrero thing.
Where he like, and like Chavo had a belt together,
or China or something like that. I don't know. Anyways.
I
want to say the entire Wyatt family gets
so
to sort
you,
of...
For a second, I think when he held it with the entire country of China, I was like, shit, the bed wrestling used to be weird. Not what you meant.
See? Not yeah, there you go. Meant. The entire country of China should hold the belt. But it's not going to be the loser belt, because they're not losers over there. They're just... They don't really care about smog problems, apparently, from what I understand. I've seen pictures. They have smog issues. Anyway. Let's see here. What? Well, originally I had number four. I had me for being Roman Reigns' best friend, but I changed mine to the Wyatt family.
No, I agree with that. That's what I had too.
Wyatt family at number four. Dan, do you have any argument with that?
No, that seems good to me.
All right. So far we got. So far we got all the rotundas. Maybe we'll sneak IRS in at number one. We'll see. Number three. I have Jack Thwagger.
Oh,
and I'll tell you why he was on Superstars. Yeah, I know. This is the thing on Hulu, it auto plays like various WWE programming when you start on like SmackDown. Because like I'll put on SmackDown if I'm doing the dishes or something like on a Friday, and after SmackDown it'll like go to I think NXT and then like Main Event or Superstars, and Jack Swagger and Fandango main evented Superstars. And there was a shot of Swagger before the match, and he was walking through he was walking through like the back section of the arena, like, you know, dramatically trying to get prepared for his match. And there was all sorts of stuff going on. So he'd be like waving at people. He went and he like bent over like what looked to be some sort of like kind of pre-merch table, like where the superstars autograph their pictures in order to get put on the merch table. And he just stopped. He bent over and he autographed a picture. But if you look really close to that picture, it didn't really even look like him. So I'm thinking, just because of that, the fact that he's going around and nobody was really acknowledging him, that like nobody in the back really knows who he is anymore. He's signing pictures that aren't his. I think he beat Fandango, but that in itself is kind of a loser action. I think for me, a number three, Jack Swagger works. What do you
guys
think?
That's not bad. I have Damian Sandow at number three.
Oh, but his grandma just died.
Oh, did she?
What a lack of heart you're showing right now. Lack of compassion.
A loser. I was like, well, that's perfect for the belt.
Yeah. Damian Sandow's grandma gets the loser belt. I'm sorry. That was a horrible thing to say.
Oh, man.
Apparently, he was very, very close with his
meemaw. You compared Roman Reigns winning to 9/11 earlier, so this is not the worst thing you've said.
No, that was the Wyatt family. That was the Wyatt family, Dan. Get it right.
Oh, yes.
Compare them to 9/11. Anyways, yeah. Damian Sandow's grandma, that's Larson's pick. Dan, what's your pick?
I had, what's his face? Thingy. Sting! I want Sting to come back with the loser belt.
Aw, but Sting's neck is broken.
Yeah, I don't think he can actually defend it.
He can't defend it.
There we go.
That doesn't make any sense. I'll be honest. I think Damian Sandow's grandma, Larson's pick, I think that should go at this number three spot.
Actually, I just picked Damian Sandow, but whatever. You're not being positive, Steve.
Two votes for his
grandma. I am.
Done.
Very, thank you. Okay, number two. I have CM Punk at number two.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Oh.
So would they just kind of like bring out a shirt with the belt draped over it?
No, it'd be even worse. It'd be like an old dusty half ripped stand up, like a cardboard standee.
Yeah.
And they drape the belt on that, and then after 90 days, they'd fire him again.
That's kind of it's like a sour grapes thing, like they did with when Macho Man left, and they had that guy come out as a Nacho Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they'd have CM Funk, exactly. Just to spite that guy. Apparently, I was reading as I was putting together like my little notes for this. I saw CM Punk. He got ripped a new one by Joe Rogan on radio show. And it's all perfectly makes sense too.
Oh yeah. I agree.
He shouldn't be even thinking about going like the UFC. And the funny thing is though, he rips him for like his first fight in the UFC. Like that has anything to do with CM Punk?
Yeah,
that's fucking Dana. Why isn't he looking at his boss and saying, Dana, why are you doing this? This is retarded. Like he should not be stepping foot in a UFC ring until he's... But the funny thing is, he sort of discredits himself because then he says, I thought the same thing about Brock Lesnar. Well, we all saw how that turned out. He was the fucking heavyweight champion. So
yeah,
that's not a point you can make, Joe Rogan. Anyways, I have CM Punk at number two. Who do you guys have?
Zack Ryder.
Oh, but no, Zack Ryder. He's a double champ right now. He's in NXT and on main roster.
Well, then he can have the loser belt on both shows.
The rare
cross promotional belt.
Ooh. Dan, who do you have at number two?
Mark Henry.
Oh,
he's not. Done.
Those are both guys. When I think about them, I go, oh, because they're total losers.
Yep.
I like Mark Henry though. I like Mark Henry a lot.
I really like Mark Henry too, but he is, I don't know, he came out with a New Day with the unicorn thing. He's trying. I'm not sure losers really try. Do losers try?
Yeah, I do. Try. I do, yeah.
Oh, man, you're a winner. Be positive.
No.
All right, number one.
We didn't get to a consensus number two. What was mine again? CM Punk? I think CM Punk is
Yeah, that's
good.
We'll say CM Punk.
Number one, here's the thing, and you guys cannot disagree with me on this. Uh-huh. The only thing worse than being CM Punk is being Titus O'Neil and getting suspended for 60 days after being the father of the year and simply playfully grabbing Vince McMahon's arm. because listen, here's why this makes sense. Because the rule behind the loser belt is if you have it for 90 days, you're gone. Mm-hmm. And he was suspended for 90 days. he literally has the loser belt There's for a reason, the appropriate amount of time.
There's a reason I said 90 days, and that's because Titus O'Neil is currently number one on my list as well.
There you go! Larson, who's number one on your list?
I had the Ascension just because. Because.
Yeah, actually,
how long do you think the Ascension would be suspended if they grabbed Vince McMahon's
arm?
Oh, they
would have been fired right away.
You're fired.
He probably would have just fired the Usos. It's like, they're the ones with the face paint. Tag team. Yep, we'll get rid of them.
Yeah those guys.
Goldust and Stardust get a check in the mail. Oh, man.
And then the patriarch of the Inouye family comes to Vince and says, what are you doing? Anyways, those are my, I don't know, whatever they are, nephews. Titus O'Neil, I think... consensus pick. Yep. Larson, do you change your mind now on Titus O'Neil?
Yeah, sure.
Or Brock Lesnar. Because how bloody hilarious would it be to give... Who would be brave enough to hand him that belt if he gets cheated out of a thing and then has to be handed the belt? Although, to be perfectly honest, if he did have to, like, the next match he was in, he would just hit someone around the face with it, pin them, and then walk off in, like, 3 seconds.
But no one would want to get in a match with Lesnar over that belt.
Yeah, would Lesnar actually wrestle another match in 90 days? That's the real question.
You'd be able to find
that
opponent.
Yeah, that's the problem, then, because he doesn't really, he just sort of comes out on Raw sometimes. And then, hey, he earned his money last night, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did.
Did you see how, like... A combination of, like, being careful and just struggling to get him up for those power bombs.
Yep.
Like, they did, like, it was like, oh, my God, this is, like, the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Plus, it's, like, the money guy in the WWE. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure, like, and they executed those things. But, like, he flat bumped those tables perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good for him. I thought of a new one for number one loser.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan.
Oh, you know what? They're gonna have goat face vegan kids. That's still to this day. That makes me want to marry Charlotte. The fact that she said you, and she said it with such verve on that during that promo. She said, "You're goat faced vegan babies." That was brilliant. That was amazing. Anyways, after this loser belt, do you have another? What's gonna be our next? So that maybe the people can think about it. What's going to be our next power ring?
What would our next belt be?
It's WrestleMania is coming up. That's going to be our next one. I don't know.
Oh, WrestleMania.
Maybe we should have our viewers and listeners suggest ideas.
Yeah, maybe you guys can in the comments or on the Twitters, hashtag going in Raw or hashtag. What should be the hashtag for this one? Fuck it, hashtag going in Raw too early in the morning. So let us know what you think for our next anti-power rankings. I don't know how to anti-matter ratings. I don't know what to...
Rankings in Raw.
Rankings in or going in rankings.
Raw rankings.
Belt up. Hashtag belt up. That's what we call it. Belt
up. Belt up. Rankings culture.
Because we're going
what rankings?
On a fast lane. I don't fucking know. It's very early. For you.
Guys, you know what's exciting? We're less than a year away from the next Fastlane.
That's true. Let's count down the days.
Oh, all God.
Right. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, Dan, I'm glad you're back with us. It makes me very happy.
Hey, we have one more segment, don't we?
What do we do?
Oh, Jesus, Tyler Breeze.
Oh, are we still doing that?
Yeah. He still needs our help, obviously.
That's like a 10-second thing. Hold on a second. Let me think about it. Okay, here we go. Tyler Breeze leaves the country he's been in. He has 7 pallets of crap headed to his house, but he hasn't in his new land of England, and he hasn't signed an agreement yet. So he's on the search for a new rental agreement for a new house. He's, oh, Jesus, Tyler Lease.
That's not bad.
Right. He moves to a different country and becomes Tyler Taiwanese. Fuck it. I don't know.
That's good. Larson, you're up. Take us home.
One day after Tyler leaves the show early, he goes home and watches the internet and comes across this guy who's really done a great job of spreading his brand virally on the internet, a wrestler that is. And so he goes, this guy has had great success doing this thing. I'm going to do it too. That wrestler, of course, is Joey Ryan, so now he is Tyler Sleaze.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Oh, I got one more. He goes home, and as he's watching the internet, after he watches Joey Ryan, he sees a guy who mocks prank videos, old commercials, whatnot, and he says, oh, geez, it's Tyler H3.
Oh, I got another one. He moves to a different country and becomes Tyler Japanese. I got another one. He moves to a different country and becomes Tyler Sudanese.
Sudanese.
Oh my god.
Did you say Portuguese already?
I did. Do Portuguese.
He moves to a different country and he becomes Tyler Portuguese. Dan, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
All right, I gotta go. I gotta go feed a kid, and we're at 59 minutes and 49 seconds.
59 seconds. God, this is
59 minutes. I don't want to make it to 60.
We're gonna make it to 60. Make it to 60.
Thanks for tuning in. I'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.